All right, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, towards the back of your Bibles in the New Testament. You might have a friend next to you who'd like you to point out where it is, John chapter 14, and we're going to be turning to verses 12 through 14. Have you ever felt nervous about talking to somebody, not known how to talk to somebody? Well, we need to learn to respond to our nervousness about talking to God and want to learn more about how to talk to God. In other words, we need to continue to learn how to pray as Jesus' disciples. I'm going to read a little bit of context. Please pay attention. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 14. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Let's pray. O Lord Jesus, we pray that by the Spirit of truth, we would be guided into all truth as a congregation and each of us individually, even in this hour, even as we look at these few verses in John's Gospel. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So, have you heard? You heard of Andrew Tate, kind of a popular personality nowadays? If you haven't heard of Andrew Tate, that's okay. In fact, I wouldn't even encourage you to listen to him, really. But it's likely that you have. If you haven't, he's a provocative internet personality, I guess you could say. He's formerly a successful kickboxer, and he's been known for having very provocative opinions. He's sort of a lightning rod personality. You either love him or you hate him. Many people are drawn to listen to him. Many people are influenced by him. And Andrew Tate recently had a viral video go out. It was very simple. He had formerly been an outspoken atheist. But now in the video, he's standing next to a Muslim man, and he's wearing Muslim clothing for worship, and he is praying to Allah. He has come out as a Muslim. He is converted to Islam. Now, when somebody has as much influence as him, I'm interested to hear what he's saying to people. And so I found an interview where he describes his conversion. Now, I can't go over all of his story, but I'm going to point out one part of it that is relevant to our message today, that helps by way of contrast to understand our Master Jesus Christ and his teaching. So Andrew Tate, this is part of why he said he became a Muslim. He said, you know, someone once told me, and I think this is true, that if you're a liar, you tend to see everybody else's liars. If you're greedy, you tend to see everybody else as greedy. If you're selfish, you tend to look at other people as selfish. Well, I like to look at myself as somebody to be feared. I like to look at myself as somebody to be respected. I like to look at myself as somebody who draws clear boundaries, and when that boundary is broken, I do something about it. And as I looked around, I found that the God of Islam was like that. It makes sense that if that's how I want to see myself, then I'm going to look for a God who has that form. And so he became Muslim. And so he made a viral video of him praying to the God who is, apparently, to his mind, in his image. Andrew Tate isn't looking for a God that he needs to become like. He's looking for a God that is like him. Andrew Tate is looking for a God that he can effectively take his own image or personality and pour it into that God. Strangely enough, I would argue, Andrew Tate is praying to himself. Andrew Tate is worshiping himself. This is not the way of Christ. Prayer is not about us making God in our image. Prayer is about God making us in Christ's image, the true Master, the true Lord of Lords, the true King of Kings. And so, let's learn from our Master that we might not make the same horrible, eternal mistake that Andrew Tate has made, and instead follow in the way of Christ. Let's begin in verse 12. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." When he says that, he is underlining what he is about to say. He says, "Whoever believes." Now, we're going to be talking about prayer today, but before we get to prayer, we have to get to faith. Prayer is rooted in belief in Jesus Christ. Prayer is rooted in faith in Jesus. And faith in Jesus is a faith that trusts him enough to pray to him. Faith in Jesus is a faith or a belief that trusts him enough to do what he commands. It is depending upon him. It is a following kind of trust or faith. And that is the kind of faith we must have if we are to pray in the way that Jesus teaches us to. But he says, whoever. That would include you or me or anybody, whoever believes in Jesus will also do the works that I do. Now, let's just do a little exercise in rehearsing the kinds of things Jesus did. Turning water into wine. Healing the blind. Feeding 5,000 men with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Healing a paraplegic. Raising the dead. I'm going to ask you, has anybody in here done any of those things? Apparently you don't have faith. Is that right? Maybe. Some people might say that. That's what Jesus just said. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And hold on, let's just sweeten the pot for a second. And greater works than these will he do. You know, if I were there, I'd want to be like, Jesus, I get what you're saying, but I really don't know if there's anything greater than raising somebody from the dead. Like, what am I going to do that's greater than raising somebody from the dead? Okay? What is Jesus talking about here? We have to have context. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but context is king. Context when we're reading Scripture is king. We need to ask, what has Jesus been saying in context? And in context, as I read to you earlier, he said to Philip, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." The context of this promise for prayer, or really for faith, and the kinds of works that Christians will do who believe in Jesus. This promise is coming in the context of revelation of God the Father's glory. And what Jesus is talking about here, when he talks about the Christian life, the works that we will do as his disciples, what he is saying is that the Spirit of God will work in those who believe in Jesus, so that they continue this ministry of making Christ known, which is a ministry of making the Father known, and in a way that did not happen in Jesus' earthly ministry, people will begin responding to the words and works of Christ's disciples in greater ways than they ever did in Jesus' ministry. This is about us becoming Christ-like and people responding to our words and works about Christ, showing forth Christ in the love we have for one another, in the words that share the gospel, in the kindness and mercy and love that we share through our following of Him. More people will receive this revelation of God than they ever did in Jesus' earthly ministry. In other words, Jesus' point here is that His people will follow Him and make Him known by the things they do. Jesus is speaking about the Christian life. That's what He's talking about. And so anything we hear now about prayer, we need to hear in that context. He goes on to say one more thing that's very important and I've already touched on, but it gives us the clue as to what He means. He says, because I am going to the Father. Let me unpack that for a second. Pay attention, okay? This can be a little bit difficult to grasp, but the more that you pay attention, the more that you practice this thought process, you'll begin to get it, and it's very important. Are you ready? The Father sent the Son. The Son died for our sins, and He rose again. The Son rose and ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And He pours out. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. The Father sends the Son. The Father and the Son send the Spirit. Now, I'm going to divide that story up. Again, I'm going over what we learned a minute ago, but I want you to get this. When the Father sent the Son made known the Father in the highest possible way. No other possible part of creation could ever make God known in the way that Christ has made Him known and will forever make Him known. We learned that last week. But the problem was people weren't receiving that revelation in mass, at large, during Jesus' earthly ministry. But when He ascends and sends His Spirit, the situation becomes different. We, His disciples, follow Him, and we share the gospel, and we live the gospel, and now the Spirit is making people's eyes open to see Jesus like they didn't before He was raised and ascended into heaven. Hopefully that helps you understand the greater work that we'll be doing as the gospel goes out to all nations and people are receiving the revelation of the Father and the Son. Now let's move on to verse 13. He says, whatever, oh my goodness, now he just continues to complicate. Whatever you ask, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Okay, so does that mean that if we pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, I like being forgiven, but I pretty much don't like anybody else in my life. Could you stop forgiving everybody else in the world and only forgive me? Will Jesus answer that prayer? Will He give that to you? Of course not. That's ridiculous. If you pray, hey, Jesus, the Trinity is a complex thing to understand. Could you just get rid of the Father and the Spirit and just make it you? Would He answer that prayer? No, that's ridiculous. And so we have to ask, what does He mean when He says, whatever that one who believes in me might ask, I will give? And of course, again, we come back to the context. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the Christian life. Whatever you might ask Him to do, that you might become more like Jesus, He will give that to you. He will. When you're at McDonald's and you were in the drive-thru, and you were in a hurry, and you ordered the large fries with your Big Mac and your soda. They didn't put the large fries in. You get out of the car, you go inside the McDonald's, there are three lines, and they're like super long. You get in line, and it's taking forever, and you feel this anger at the people who are running this McDonald's, the management, the people in front of you. You just feel anger about everything, and you say, Jesus, please give me the patience to be here and to wait for these fries, or just give me the willingness to give up the money and give it up and just go back and get in my car and go. That prayer, Jesus will answer. He will. But it's going to be in process. So it's not like the moment you pray that prayer, you'll begin to levitate. Oh, you're like some perfectly patient person. Oh, I pray this prayer, he answers it. I'm now perfect in patience. I start like hugging people around me. You know, I get the fries finally. I start giving them out to the masses and feeding the 5,000. That's not how the prayer will be answered. It will always be in process as you pray to become like Jesus. Why do I say that? Because I know the Bible. We have to know the entirety of the Scriptures. We need to be teaching our children the entirety of the Scriptures. In fact, I would argue that you need to be teaching your children, if you have children or you will have them, theology. I suggest the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Because then you come to passages like this and you understand why a minister would say the prayer to become like Jesus, no matter what situation you pray in, will always be in process. The reason why? Because you still struggle with sin. And Jesus, in his wisdom, has not determined to take the presence of sin out of our lives completely. So when you pray for patience, and of course you take action and try to be patient, you will see Jesus granting you to begin to be patient. And you will see that throughout your life, as you continue to pray for patience and take action on that patience, that Jesus is answering your prayer to become a patient person. He will answer the prayer to become like him. And he will use your becoming like him to bring people like Andrew Tate to him. That's the promise. That's the greater work that he's doing through the church throughout the world for the glory of the Father. Now, what does he mean by in my name? I guess that's worth just a quick word. It does not mean that if you say, God, I'd like a lime green Lambo in the parking lot right now. In Jesus' name. You know, before I said in Jesus' name, someone looked out. They're like, it's not there, Tim. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. In Jesus' name. Then they look back out. Oh, there it is. No. It's not an incantation. It's not like you just say these words and now you've got God behind the back by the arm. Oh, okay. He said in Jesus' name. Fine. What it means is, I am, and it completely goes with the rest of Jesus' teaching here, it means I'm asking for something that you stand for. When I say in your name, it means this is what you stand for: justice, righteousness, kindness, mercy, love, patience, self-control, these things, that which you stand for, the glory of the Father, that's why I'm praying, that's what I'm praying for, and it is in your name. Jesus is teaching us that prayer needs to be about becoming like him for his purposes and especially for the glory of the Father. Did you hear that? Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you're like me, that is not on my mind very much. I do want to live for God's glory. I do want to live for not only Jesus' glory, but the Father's glory. I mean, I'm not there yet. And maybe that's where you need to begin to pray this week. Father, would you make me a person who doesn't live for the glory of men, that men might respect me, that men might fear me, but that you would make me a person unlike other men. A man who doesn't care whether you fear me or respect me, but that you would fear the living God, who will cast all those who reject him into the burning flames of the lake of fire, but who has sent his Son to be condemned in my place, to be crucified, died, and buried, that I might be saved, that I might have eternal life, that I might know the living God and make him known to those who know him. For your glory, let us become a people like that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have sent your Son Jesus to give us his life and to teach us his way of life. Let us become like him. In his name we pray. Amen.